Early voting starts tomorrow in Nevada. A new poll from the Las Vegas Review-Journal today shows Bernie Sanders ahead of his Democratic rivals. He's getting support from 25% of voters. Joe Biden has fallen into second place at 18%, followed by Elizabeth Warren and the billionaire Tom Steyer. Meanwhile, there are concerns that counting the vote in the Democratic caucuses there might be just as problematic as it was in Iowa.
I guess you have to say a billionaire in this race instead of the billionaire, because there are two, of course, on the Democratic side. Well, on Twitter this morning, President Trump said he has the legal right to intervene in criminal cases, even after his attorney general urged him to stop tweeting about those cases. Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable today. Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, and Kimberly Atkins, national political correspondent for WBUR. Welcome to both of you. And Kimberly, let me start with you. The president continues to insist it was not a problem for him to tweet about what he felt was a too tough sentence, a recommendation for his friend Roger Stone, who was convicted in the Russia investigation. This has left Attorney General William Barr having to explain whether he reduced the recommended sentence because of pressure from the president. The four prosecutors on the case appear to have quit the case in protest. Here's Barr in an interview with ABC last night.
I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody, and I said at the time, whether it's Congress, newspaper, editorial boards, or the president, I'm going to do what I think is right. And, I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me.
Kimberly, is any of this going to be a problem for the Trump administration?
I don't think so. I mean, the attorney general said that he is going to do, quote, what I think is right. And every indication so far is what the attorney general thinks is right is exactly what the president wants. It seems that the problem here, given these very public resignations from the prosecutorial team, I'm sure the attorney general is hearing from other prosecutors and others throughout the Justice Department who are really troubled by this. He might be trying to quell an insurrection of sorts and is signaling to the president, look, I'm trying to do my job here. The job is one that you want me to do, and I'm doing what you want. Cut it out with the Twitter, because that's just making it harder for me to manage. It feels more like that than an actual rebuke of the president on any sort of substance.
But it seems like the core issue here is whether the president or the president's friends are above the law. And Rick, there was a story this morning in the New York Times about a Bronx city councilwoman who got pulled over for using her cell phone while driving. She was being given a $50 ticket, then called the department, said, "Don't you know who I am?" They pulled the ticket, and then the officer ended up complaining, and now she has to pay $5,000 because she is not above the law. I wonder, just as you listen to that and think about what's going on here with the president, if she was the president's friend, could the president just call up and say, don't prosecute?
The president has made that very clear. And I think that one thing that rang a bit hollow in what Barr was saying to my colleague Pierre Thomas is this idea that this displayed some sort of independence. We know that the attorney general's actions in this case were extraordinary. Whether or not you believe him when he says that he didn't know what the president was communicating or wasn't influenced by Twitter, he still stepped in on behalf of the president's friend. He knew the president's opinion on this case and stepped in and overruled very publicly, extraordinarily publicly, his own prosecutors. And I think this was something that a lot of folks who after President Trump's impeachment, were afraid that he would feel emboldened on it. This is when you couple this with the people that he has ousted who were involved in the Ukraine story and the people that testified before Congress. This looks like a president who is flexing new muscles and showing less restraints on his power.
To that point, Kimberly, I mean, isn't the president likely anyways just to pardon Roger Stone?
That's a possibility. He has not ruled that out when asked directly at the White House yesterday if that was an option. So I think to add to the point about the president feeling very free and emboldened to do what he wants to do, this is all a result in part of the impeachment acquittal. The president has yet to be held accountable in any sort of substantive way from any action that he has taken since he has entered the White House. And so you can tell from his Twitter feed where he is taking on every perceived enemy, right down to the actions that he's taken and what he's saying, even in response to Attorney General Barr, that he feels that he can do whatever he wants.
Okay, so Rick, I want to ask you about the 2020 race. race. We got this poll that I mentioned from Nevada today. This is one poll in a state that really doesn't have a lot of polling in the first place. But here's Bernie Sanders again, ahead of Joe Biden, who had been leading pretty consistently in Nevada. What's the state of this race? Do you see one of the moderates dropping out eventually or soon to support another that would stop Bernie Sanders?
What's clear is that Iowa and New Hampshire, while they had their results, and Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg had good nights in both states, they actually haven't clarified the race in any way. And in fact, they may have built up other potential challengers for that nod. And the question isn't, is there an anti-Bernie candidate? The issue may be there's more than one or too many right now for Democrats. And I think the emergence of Amy Klobuchar, her breakthrough night in New Hampshire a few days ago, solidifies that and puts her back into contention. I think the fact that Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, and one-time frontrunners, are still scrambling and trying to break through in some way. And, of course, the presence of Michael Bloomberg on the other side. You've got six or seven legitimate candidates, all of whom have the potential to start picking up delegates. You can call someone a frontrunner right now, but I really don't see one at this moment.
What about Mayor Pete, Kimberly? What do you think he's thinking as he goes into this week where he narrowly lost in New Hampshire, but he narrowly won the delegate count in Iowa? And now he's got Michael Bloomberg kind of waiting in the wings to come in and challenge whoever.
Yeah, this is where the campaign for him encounters its first major potential roadblocks, right? You do have candidates like Bloomberg, like Steyer, who can just flood the markets with ads and have unlimited money to spend. You have voters of color, Hispanic voters and black voters in Nevada and South Carolina, who are casting their votes in appreciable ways for the first time. And he's had a tough time so far really breaking into to those communities.
So has Amy Klobuchar, by the way.
Absolutely. So it can take a turn. It's still early, and this is showing how this is very much an open race.
And Rick, what about Michael Bloomberg? He is leading in the polls in Alabama, second in Missouri. Today we learned in one poll he's first in Florida, but he is under fire for his past support of stop and frisk police tactics in New York City. In Houston last night, he apologized again. Listen.
I defended it, looking back, for too long because I didn't understand then the unintended pain it was causing to young black and brown families and their kids. I should have acted sooner and faster to stop it. I didn't, and for that I apologize.
How is he handling this, Rick, and how's his campaign doing?
Well, his campaign has had an extraordinary couple of weeks, in good as well as bad ways. But I think the calculation that his team made was that either Bernie Sanders would be ascendant or Joe Biden would be wounded or there'd be chaos in the party. He pulled it inside straight. All of those things have happened. And that's accelerated the time frame for him to be scrutinized as well as for him to look pretty good in the eyes of some of a whole lot of voters. And I think Democrats are going to cast about a bit to try to figure out how to work this out. A lot of them are afraid of a Bernie Sanders nomination. They're not sold on Pete Buttigieg or Amy Klobuchar as alternatives. And again, the Biden and Warren fades play into this as well. Mayor Pete still has a chance here to be that candidate. But if not, Mayor Mike may be the flavor that people are talking about in a few weeks' time.
Kimberly, one of the most remarkable things to me about Bloomberg is that he hasn't even been on a ballot yet. And yet he is still getting all of this attention. How much does the race change once he's actually a choice that voters can make?
I think that's what we'll have to see. I mean, recall that when Joe Biden got into the race, he had almost all of the black support and he sort of came in as a front runner and then slowly saw that decline. The same thing could happen once voters take a look at Bloomberg, or it might not. They may like him, but voters are just getting their first look at him. They have yet to really render a full opinion. Certainly voters of color, when it comes to issues of things that he said about things that he's done on stop and frisk and said about redlining. I think we'll have to see.
We also haven't seen him on a debate stage, Rick.
No, we haven't. And we might next week. He hasn't qualified quite yet for the debate in Nevada. But how he stacks up, I actually think while his team says they would accept any debate invitation, I don't question that. I actually think the people that want to see him on a debate stage the most are Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They would love to roast into him. And the questions around his handling of racially sensitive issues like stop and frisk are only the start of it. This is a billionaire. We've heard Bernie Sanders talk about millionaires and billionaires for a long time. He would love to sink his teeth into Mike Bloomberg. And we don't know how he matches up. And until you see that, you really can't know how this race truly stacks up.
You know, there was one more thing I just want to get your thoughts on, Kimberly, and that is regarding Pete Buttigieg's sexual orientation. Conservative talk radio host Rush Limbaugh, who just got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, as you remember, at the State of the Union address, said this week, quote, "How is this going to look? 37-year-old gay guy kissing his husband on stage next to Mr. Man Donald Trump." We should point out, by the way, that Buttigieg is 38, not 37. But anyway, what's been the reaction to that?
Well, look, he currently leads among all delegates so far. Yes, it's just two states. But that has not seemed to be a problem for most of his supporters. And it's a historic moment. Look, you had a very diverse field and it's gotten a lot less diverse. I think that has shown that there is a possibility for someone to break through. And so far, it hasn't held him back.
All right. Well, this race is only getting more interested. We're going to Nevada next.
You're going to Nevada next.
I am going to Nevada next. I'll be there on Wednesday. And there's a lot to learn. A lot's going to change between now and then. That was Kimberly Atkins, a national political correspondent for WBUR, and Rick Klein, political director at ABC. Thanks to you both, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.